The Melbourne AA Steps Weekend, 2009. Here's Paul, sharing on Step 8.
G'day all, my name's Paul, I'm not an alcoholic, and I haven't had a drink today, and that's thanks to my association with Alcoholics Anonymous, and a power greater than myself that I choose to call God. And I'll say my, apologies now, but I'll be taking off as soon as I finish speaking. I still play football, and it's our third game this year, and I haven't played, and because I've had other commitments, and I want to get a kick. So I'm still a selfish. Sort of, and some people would say, and when I first come in, people said you'd have to get away from the football clubs and all that. It's like the pubs, the clubs, and the dives. And I come in at 28, and it's 23 years later, and I'm still playing. And why do I play it? And the guys here today who actually said to me, he said, I want you to come around to Melton on a Thursday night. I said, look, I can't. I said, I've got football training. No, you're still playing that game. What are you doing still playing that game? And I thought, he's another one of these buggers, you know. Wants me to give up something. But he could immediately see that that it caused a bit of consternation. I didn't talk too much about playing football early on because people would tell me, keep out of a pub's clubs and his eyes and give me a bit of a rang me about it, you know. And then he asked me a question, why do you play? And I said, I play because I love it. And simply put, he said he gave me something that I've held all through my recovery, and that is that love who you're with, be with who you... Be with who you love who you're with. Do what you love what you do. And simply put, for me, I can put that as into principles about how I can go about living my life today. And I use little terminologies as meditations. And, another one of them is nothing changes if nothing changes. There's another one. Do you know the story about the idiot, the fool, and the wise man? An idiot is a person who forgives and forgets. A fool is a person who doesn't forgive and doesn't forget. And a wise man is a person who forgives but does not forget. And it leads me into this step eight. This person who I shared my fifth step with, as I went through it, said to me, can you see the pattern here? And I said, well, no. What's the pattern? And it was stares all of us straight in the face. And that, I want to control everything. You know, Greg spoke about it. And that's my greatest fear, is that I am not in control. And I'm forever trying to... determine outcomes, you know, control the outcome, you know, if I do this or say this, you know. And so who's running the show, you know, and it says at the start of in how it works, you know, first of all, we had to quit playing God. And that's what I was doing. I was playing God. And I play God still today. I still need to be, you know, track back. You know, Robbie spoke about it, you know, going about doing inventories. And looking back at my day, or looking back at circumstances and situations as they appear in front of me. And as I said, I use a lot of different little meditations. I call them meditations for me. You call them whatever you like, sayings, you know. Sponsor again, he's here today. I never knew much about this God stuff, you know. And he said, well, how do I know when I'm doing God's will? I don't, but I certainly know when I'm not. And it helped me a lot, that stuff. I use it today. Another one was, it's a mix of stuff from the book and from stuff I heard, and that was, you know, God is forever putting people, places and situations in front of me for me to avail with the proper use of my will. And certainly that leads me, you know, a lot into step eight, in that made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I always want to control outcomes. I still do. You know, it's just me. And if I'm willing, and just buggered it up. Lost me train of thought. Sorry. The willingness, if you like, and seeking is for me to do it in God's time, not my time. Because as I said, I try to control outcomes. So, well, as it said, you know, I made a list. Oh, that's where I bugged it up. In the book it says we had our list. I did it when I did my fourth and when I did my fourth step. And there was actually a couple of people I had to actually add on to that. One was a person I've never met. And so I had the list, but I seen, as Greg spoke about and as Robbie spoke about, my defects, where I've been selfish, where I've been dishonest, where I've been self-seeking, frightened, and dishonest. And I could see that played out through the situations that I put down on the piece of paper and as I spoke and as I talked it through, the damage that I'd done to others and that what I was now being trying to be, if you like, seeking to be less dishonest, less selfish, less inconsiderate to others. Moving along the way, it would be to try to repair the damage of the past, but it would have to be, well, that happened, I'll let it go, and now I'll just be different. But it wasn't that. I would need to actually repair the damage to see. And as I said, I try to control the outcomes, but I would have to just let it just all out. And that was scary for me. That was really scary for me because I wanted to know the outcome. So I had this list, I still worried about this God stuff. Sponsor up me out there again. He said, in removing all this stuff, I don't know about that. He says, and then he simply put to me, when was the last time you thought of having a drink? And it was about two, I couldn't remember. And my days used to be consumed by would I drink or would I not drink? And here it was, this obsession had been removed. It blew me away. And how did that come about? And that was entrusting this power. Something great. I look at God as God is greater than all. Something had to create the Big Bang, you know. And so, by trusting this, that I could move out. As I said, I had this list. Now I'm getting back on track. Sorry. Now I found myself with this list, and we went through the now, later, never. And as I said, I added some people to the list who weren't on my resentment list or where fear had come into play or people who I'd harmed in my conduct. And so I had a couple of people who I'd, yeah. So the nows were my friends. I was a person who, my fear would ever have me become angry or be subservient to people. And I was a village idiot, the town drunk. I seemed to always be subservient to people. I seemed to be somebody who seemed to be manipulated and resented that. And so by going off to friends and all that and just explaining and sitting down with them and saying, it was early on, you know, about how I'd come into Alcoholics Anonymous and I'm trying to repair the damage of the past. And they would sit there and they sat there and they listened. And they said, and mainly I'd come out with how I'd stolen their good times, how I felt deeply ashamed about how I made at different times their lives a misery just from my conduct and how I'd been. And they just said how grateful they were that, you know, now it was sober and it was moving along a new track. And they were so, they knew the nice bloke sober could stay that nice bloke sober. You know, it didn't have to be that mongrel when he was pissed. So so the easy ones were easy, and I sort of knew the outcomes. So the nows, but I had to start somewhere. And that was by the willingness, by just, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So I could have left it and said, oh, well, I'll just start as fresh, you know. But to see the actual results from that and not, I sort of could get an idea of what the results were. But just by putting it into practice and seeing that result and having a couple of people just give me a big hug and say that stuff that they said to me, showed me that I was on a path and that I wasn't, you know, although there was a degree of controlling of the outcomes there, I didn't have full control. So it was slowly, then it come down to family. And there was I'm in a dysfunctional family, you know. You're as sick as your secrets. And there were secrets within our family that weren't very nice. But, you know, I wouldn't like to see the light of day. And that I created a lot of resentment, a lot of hurt, and a lot of shame. And so my sponsor again, I've got to bring in step nine. I just can't do step eight without step nine doing it. Because there's a word in step nine. It is, may direct the mens to such people, wherever. Paul's controlling of the outcomes is whenever. Wherever was like he put to me as being God's time. And I took that on board and I thought, I don't have to go out and do it when I want to. And in God's time, God put people in my path and forever has. And that's why I sit with that little saying that I have of God is forever putting people, places and situations in front of me for me to evolve the proper use of my will. With my mum, we were just sitting down having a cup of tea one day and it just all come out. With my sister. You know, I remember my sponsor said to me with one situation with his, it came after a long time, he said, do you forgive me? And because of what he'd been, he said that how he'd been over all those years about being respectful and respectable and loving and kind and caring and concerned and giving, and this is how I wanted to be, and it just was, it being less selfish and dishonest, and being upfront with stuff and just caring without any thought of favour or fear. And that had come to this time where I was able to say to somebody, you know, do you forgive me? And then going through the situation, saying how I thought I'd hurt this person and wanting to put the change into place so that we could have a better relationship today. And it came about, you know. And it says in the book, you know, don't worry about the outcome. You know, I want to control the outcome. And that's what I mean about the willingness, continually asking to be willing and for the change to take place. And certainly what happened was that, you know, it's a better relationship today with my mum. My brother was a weird one. Something terrible happened in his life and he come to me. My older brother, who intimidated me and tried to, he stood over me, he actually come to me. God put that situation in my life. Actually come out. But the amends come down to where his was like making amends to me for past acts. It was just amazing stuff, blown out stuff. I'm guilty of 13 steps in AA, and when I first found out about the 13 step, they talked about up the young people's convention up in Sydney many years ago, and I thought, geez, they even get these wrong, you know? They don't even realise that there's 13 steps, and I'd only been around about 6 months, so I wasn't really listening to a lot of people. And went up and found out about it, and then found out, Jesus Christ, you're in one. It was just my lust and, you know, and greed and selfishness, and that was, was having this play out. And so come back and had a talk to this lady and said, look, it's not right, and this is not on good grounding, it's not good for either of us, and we just got to stop. And And I think she left, you know, one of those real sad things. And I'm very careful of relationships in AA, and I've had, you know, a couple since. And one didn't end. One ended, and I went back into the old habits, into the old way of being. Suspicious and, you know, just feeling dirty and unkempt inside, if you like. And I knew I had to put that down on paper and share that out with somebody, and then need to come to be, you know, I wanted to be more free of this dishonesty, of this fear, of this controlling. And then just said, look, to this lady, I got to stop resenting, you know, I'm resenting you at the moment. I don't want to feel this way. It's dishonest for me. I'm being dishonest to myself and not being true to myself, and I just need to be free of that without any regard for the outcome. And I walked away from that thinking, you know, I've just made an idiot of myself. but I hadn't. We're actually quite good. We're not close. But certainly we're very cordial and very civil and very trusting and respectful of each other today. And I can only hope for that. I wouldn't have wanted that. I didn't think that would... I shouldn't say that. As I said, I need to trust the outcome's up to God. It's just me doing my bidding. And that's me being willing, is trusting the outcome's up to God. All I need to do is just put my best foot forward and try to put this into place as best I can. And I won't be as envious as what I used to be. I won't be as lustful as what I used to be. I won't be as proud as what I used to be. But I'm still, my second name is Sloth. I'm a lazy bugger. An old good friend of mine, she reckons, you're not a pig, Paul, you're a grot. But I'm getting better, you know. I don't know whether that's helped anybody. Certainly it helps me. I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to share. I just leave on those two little things about God. How do I know when I'm doing God's will? I don't, but I certainly know when I'm not. And God is forever putting people, places and situations in front of you for you to avail with the proper use of your will. And trust in that. And leave the outcomes up to God. Thanks.
This share and other shares like it are available from our website, stepsweekend.aogroup.org.au. Thanks for letting us share.